In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and God, Amen.
In the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, one God, Amen. I thank my beloved fathers for they gave me this blessing to contemplate with you on the Tuesday Theotokia. So the Theotokia, as we heard, it is a praise for Saint Mary. It's a doxology or glorification for Saint Mary. But what was the idea of glorifying or praising Saint Mary? The idea was to explain through Saint Mary the mystery of incarnation. So the fathers wanted to reserve, let's say preserve, the theological doctrines the mystery of the incarnation in the praise. So every single time, as you know, when we attend the liturgy, for instance, we go through the birth, the death, the resurrection, the ascension of Jesus Christ. So we reiterate the work of salvation of God in the liturgy. And now every single time we praise, the fathers wanted to preserve the faith, the theological doctrines they fought for in the praise. In the Tuesday Theotokia, it has seven parts. It's not a big Theotokia. Seven parts. We're going to stay on part one today. However, I want to give you an overview or a rundown of the seven parts. So some of the parts are purely theological, like parts 1 and 4. Some of the parts are praises. They praise the incarnation. They praise Saint Mary. And some of the parts are basically typology or types or symbols. Symbols of Saint Mary from the Old Testament, like part 2. I wanted to maybe give you, like, you know, quickly, like, you know, these symbols. So they talked about, one, Moses' bush. We all know that. Moses saw the bush in flames, yet it was not consumed. So the fulfillment is Saint Mary bearing Christ, the Lord, the Logos incarnate, and his divinity did not consume her. Another symbol, ladders of Jacob. And the angels are going up and down, ladder on the, like, on the earth, and are reaching out to heaven. So the fulfillment is Saint Mary, who bore the Lord Christ, the incarnate living Word of God, who descended to take flesh from her, to bring us up, to bring humanity up, to be united in God. And the third symbol is it's about Gideon fleece. Remember Gideon? He was asking signs from God to make sure that God is with him before he goes in war. So he told him, okay, give me a sign. So he told him, okay, give me a fleece of wool. He put it on the ground. The very first night, the fleece was soaked with dew, but the ground around it was dry. So the fleece represents the womb of Saint Mary, and the dew represents Christ. So what is the idea? So the fathers, see, when the dew, when it happens, you know, it's usually very silent, you know, unheard of. It's not like the rain that come crashing down. And that's how the father understood the conception of Christ within the womb of Saint Mary. Another symbol. Remember when Moses took the Ten Commandments from God on Mount Sinai. God was on the mountain, and the mountain was aflame, was ablaze, was smoking. Thunder and lightning flashes. The people were terrified to get closer to the mountain. So this is how the glory of God was on the mountain. Saint Mary is the speaking mountain in the Tuesday Theotokion, because the Logos incarnate, our Lord Jesus Christ, took flesh from her and dwelt in her. And then another symbol, last one, is about the unplanted field nobody has planted, yet it brought forth fruit. So it's very clear. Saint Mary conceived and born and brought forth Christ without the seed of man, without the human agency. Those are the symbols in the Theotokia of Tuesday about Saint Mary. However, when we think of Saint Mary, you know, the fathers wanted to put her in the core, in the center of the incarnation. And it is true. When she said to the Archangel Gabriel in the Annunciation, "Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it to me according to your word," she wasn't just passively accepting the Annunciation, but she was actively participating in the work of the salvation of the Lord. Right? Because through her, Christ took that flesh. And that's why we tell her, "You are the crown of our pride. You are the head of our salvation. You are the confirmation of our purity. You are the Virgin Mary." You know, there is a comparison that Saint John Chrysostom made between Eve and Saint Mary. And he said, Eve in the past was deceived by the devil. She pointed to a tree, and the result was that they fell, and Adam and Eve were expelled from paradise. And you know the story. They used to live in love with the Lord, united with the Lord. They were created to live forever. And through that sin, death entered into the world. Physical death and spiritual death. You know, physical death means the body separates from the soul, and then the body goes to dust. That's physical. The more dangerous death is when the soul separates from God. That's what Revelation called the second death. Right? But all of you who believed in the Lord Christ, who are living in Christ, who are putting on Christ, all of us, that second death has no dominion on us as long as we are in Christ. So that's Eve. How about Saint Mary? According to Saint John, Saint Mary accepted the Annunciation of the Archangel Gabriel, brought forth the Lord Christ, the incarnate Logos, the fruit of life, who pointed to the cross, and through that cross, he led the whole humanity into paradise. See the difference? That's why we call her the new Eve. So, Saint Mary is the pinnacle summit. Pinnacle, right? Is the template restoration of humanity in every way. Everything, all the spiritual results of the fall, she reversed it. The pride of Eve that brought death, that brought corruption. She was very humble, profound humility. I can go on and on and on about her humility, about her dependence and reliance and obedience to the will of the Lord in her life, about her ardent love to the Lord, self-denial, meaning like you give the Lord reign into your life. A mystic union with the Lord. She was that. Her patience, her endurance, we can go on and on. We cannot finish. She is so honored. There is no one in heaven or on earth has attained the honor of Saint Mary. She's above the cherubim, as we heard in the praise. Above the cherubim and the seraphim, above all the hosts of heaven. I actually was reading, like a couple of days ago, from St. Matthew, chapter 5, the constitution of Christianity. And I noticed the Lord, you know, it's the Sermon on the Mount. He sat on the mountain, he was teaching the multitude. But it just came to me, everything he said, blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are the peacemaker. Blessed are the pure in heart, at heart. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake. Blessed if they revile you. And it came to me. It seemed to me that Christ was sitting on the mountain looking at Saint Mary as if he's talking to Saint Mary but teaching the multitude, because every single thing, all of these blessings apply to Saint Mary. Saint Mary is a summit of virtues. So let's go on to the second verse. Who for us gave birth to God the Word, who became man for our salvation. So here, she gave birth to God the Word. She did not give birth to a man, and later on was joined by divinity or a divine. So this is a huge difference. She gave birth to the very essence of God. God the Word, the second hypostasis of the Holy Trinity. And in the Theotokia, you know, we hear about so many attributes of God the Word. The infinite logos. The provider of all. The sustainer. The creator. That is God the Word. God the Word, who Saint John spoke about. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He is God the Word. And that's why we call her the Theotokos, the bearer of God. Contrary to a heresy of Nestor, the Nestorian heresy, who said Christ is two persons, one divine, one human. No. Saint Cyril fought for this. Because Saint Cyril said, Christ is one person, two distinct natures. Fully human, fully divine. And you know, in the confirmation, in the liturgy, we say, his humanity parted not from, his divinity parted not from his humanity. But Saint Cyril was stressing on this fact, that Saint Mary brought forth God. And if she didn't bring forth God, then our salvation is futile. Why? Because only God Almighty can conquer the human death. Only God Almighty can grant immortality to fallen humanity. You know, when he took that flesh, his flesh was united to his immortal logos. God doesn't die, but he took flesh to accept that death on our behalf. And because he's united to his logos, God, death could not hold him. So as if like death swallowed life, and with that, death was destroyed. And that's why Christ, the Virgin Mary, brought forth Christ, the Logos, the Word of God, God. who became man. The Word of God became man, took flesh. It wasn't an abstract idea. It wasn't an apparent vision. It wasn't just يعني خيال. كان flesh. Saint John, in his first epistle, says, "We tell you about which from the beginning, who that we have seen, that we have touched, that we have looked at, that we have handled." Right? They did touch him. They did handle him. Thomas put his hand in his side. Right? Saint Peter held his hand when he was about to drown. Right? They were talking about a real person, a full human, blood and flesh like us. He became man. So the veil between heaven and earth was torn. God is becoming a man like us. For our salvation. And that word is very important. And we all know why God has done that. Saint Athanasius, the 20th Pope of Alexandria, the great apostolic Saint Athanasius, who was fighting for this word, that Christ is divine, Christ is God, right? Against Arianism, Arian. At the time, you know, almost the emperor and all the bishops were almost all of them Arian. And that's why Saint Athanasius earned that title. He is against the whole world. So he was alone defending that faith. That Christ is God. You know, Saint Athanasius was a pope for 45 years. Out of these 45 years, 17 years was banished and exiled. Almost a third. Unbelievable. But God chose these great holy men filled with the Holy Spirit to defend the faith, right? Saint Cyril, the 24th Pope of Alexandria, the same thing. God came for our salvation. I wanted to go quickly about the main argument of Saint Athanasius for the salvation. One thing is to defeat corruption and death. We know that. The other thing is to reconcile justice and mercy. Justice and mercy. But the third one is to bring humanity to the knowledge of the true God. Why? Because humanity had the prophets and had the law. However, they forsook God, the true God, and they carved a fashion for themselves, like, you know, idols in the form of human. What would God do? God chose to become human so he can be seen, touched, hurt, so he can identify with all humanity. So they know the knowledge of the true God. And that is important. It's important for us to know the knowledge of the true God. That's for sure. However, I want to ask, what are we doing with that knowledge? Because it's not enough for me to know the true God. I mean, the intellectual knowledge of God. يعني عايز أقول إزاي أستفيد بمعرفتي العقلية لربنا هتفيدني إزاي في خلاص بتاعي وخلاص الناس اللي حواليا. لو ما كانتش حياتي بتعكس المعرفة بتاعتي لربنا يبقى أنا طب عملت إيه بالمعرفة دي؟ لو كانت حياتنا day-to-day activities مش بتعكس حياتنا الروحية يبقى احنا we're missing the mark. سانت ماري كانت عندها حياة سرية وعشرة مع ربنا. وانتوا عارفين حياتها ما كانتش حياة بسيطة وما كانتش حياة سهلة من وهي طفلة. في الهيكل 3 سنين لأنها باباها ومامتها كانوا مش بيجيبوا أولاد ونادروها إن هي تخدم في الهيكل، فودوها الهيكل عندها 3 سنين. وبعدين بقت يتيمة من غير أب ولا أم في سن 8 سنين. وفي سن 12 سنة قالوا لها تطلع من الهيكل، وفي الحالة ده هي لازم تروح عند حد من القرايب، وهي ما عندهاش قرايب، هي يتيمة، no father no brother no sister. So they search for a distant relative and it was Saint Joseph. And they gave her to Saint Joseph. She stayed in Saint Joseph. And then the Annunciation, and she gave birth to Christ. Even accepting the Annunciation, imagine, you know, virgin, pregnant, and she was enduring all of these, like, you know, thoughts of people, like, you know, about her. But she accepted it. She was totally seeing the work of God in her life. And then after that, she had to flee to Egypt. At the time, you know, there was no means of transportation, so they travel on foot or by a donkey. The travel distance is about 2,000 kilometers back and forth. And imagine all the troubles, all the danger of the journey. They don't have the basic necessities. They have a small infant with them. They are going to a remote, strange country, strange language, strange culture. They were sometimes rejected, mostly rejected by the peoples and the locals. Why? Because every single time or wherever Jesus goes, all the idols of the Egyptians would fall. So the locals hated them. And they had to hid somewhere. In Old Cairo, if you've ever been to Old Cairo, the suspended church, there is a cave where the Holy Family stayed. You cannot go in the cave. I went in the cave. You have to stoop, you know, to get in the cave. And the cave is very tight, very narrow. They stayed there. It wasn't a comfortable life that Saint Mary accepted. But why she accepted it? Because she had faith in the Lord and she had given the Lord reign in her life. We don't do that sometimes. You know, we want to know the plan of God before so I can say yes or no. يعني لو البلان بتاع ربنا يمشي مع أفكاري أوكي، لكن أحيانا البلان بتاع ربنا مش بيتوافق مع الأفكار بتاعتنا، بيبقى مش واضح أو بيبقى مخالف للأفكار بتاعتنا أو غريب، فإحنا بنبقى خايفين، مش عايزين إحنا نمشي مع ربنا، ما عندناش إيمان إن ربنا بيحبنا وإن ربنا بيعمل كل حاجة علشان خلصنا. Sometimes بنثق في أفكارنا والunderstanding والفهم بتاعنا more عن ربنا. Saint Mary was not like that. So when I say the knowledge of God, the incarnation, one of the most important drivers of the incarnation, other than defeating death and corruption, but to know the true God. If we know the true God, we have to have that mystic life of union with God, like Saint Mary. So I'm afraid that sometimes we are only practicing mere Christianity. I'm telling myself that, you know, mere Christianity. We're doing certain things, and that's it. We don't go to the depth. We don't encounter God deeper. But God is calling us every day to encounter Him at a deeper level. He did not become man just for him, for me, to know him, the true God. He wants us to be united unto him. So that's why it's important for us to think this way. He's not interested in a Sunday, a corner sacred time during the week just for God. But the rest of the week, what am I doing? How am I spending my time? So I'm talking about the day-to-day relationships. I'm talking about how the sacred and the secular have to be aligned. How our secular life should reflect our sacred life, our spiritual life. This way, Christ lives in us. This way, we show Christ. Christ would be formed in us, and then would be shown to others. That's the knowledge of God that we are seeking, like Saint Mary. He came for our salvation. But I remember one verse from Saint Paul, which is very, very beautiful verse that explains that salvation. And he says in Hebrews, he says, Jesus Christ came as a high priest of the good things to come. He entered through the most holy tabernacle that is not made of human hands, that is not of this creation. What does that mean? He entered into the presence of the Father like a high priest, but not with the blood of calves and not with the blood of goats, like what the high priest used to do, right? But with his own blood, once and for all. Once and for all humanity, from Adam till the second coming of Jesus Christ, for all sins. And he has obtained eternal redemption. That is the salvation, right? And that is the faith that our Father defended. Saint Mary brought forth the Word of God, the incarnate Logos. And after he became man, he remained God. So the incarnation did not diminish the divinity. He did not cease to be God after he has taken flesh. He was in the womb of Saint Mary while he was in the bosom of his Father. He was in the womb of Saint Mary while he was directing the whole universe by his word. He's God. He's full God. He's full human. Without change, without confusion, without mixing, without separation. The four withouts. He remained God. Wherefore, she gave birth to him while a virgin. And as we said, the virginal birth was an absolute necessity for the incarnation. It had to be a virginal birth. It had to be without the seed of man. So he's not under the sin of Adam, which caused him physical and spiritual death. So he can grant us immortality. And then these are the two last verses. Exalted is the wonder of her pregnancy, and her delivery is unutterable. So the tune refuses to classify the conception of Saint Mary under normal circumstances. It just confirms that God chose a supernatural way to take flesh, counter nature. And then it says, for of his own will and the pleasure of his Father and the Holy Spirit, he came and saved us. That's the refrain. So in all the seven parts, if you have the chance to read them, they are beautiful parts. The last verse, always this one. For of his own will and the pleasure of his Father and the Holy Spirit, he came and saved us. Like a drum beat, you know, it resolves back to that idea. What is the idea? The idea is, it was one divine will, but it was expressed freely by the three persons of the Holy Trinity. Christ did not come because he had to. Christ came of his own will because he loved to. And that's important. It talks about the heart of God, right? Because after all, love that is not free is not really love. But the love of God is unconditional, overflowing, right? That's love. And that's the type of love he expects from us back. when we do any of our worship, when we strive to become like, you know, at that perfection, at Christ's perfection, we ought to do it in love. We ought to respond back in love. Remember the verse in St. Paul. He says, if I fast, if I make miracles, if I raise the dead, but I don't have love, then I'm nothing. Everything you do, it has to be in love, because that's how God came. That's how God was incarnate of the Virgin Mary, because he loved us. Actually, St. John put it very brilliantly. He said, it's not God, it's not us who loved God, but it's God who loved us. And he sent his only begotten Son to be an atoning sacrifice for our sins. And not for our sins only, but for the sins of the whole world. So what I wanted to leave you with today is, if we want to live Christianity, we need to be more deeper with God. Get deeper in our relationship with God. يعني يبقى عندنا علاقة حقيقية بربنا. يبقى ربنا موجود في حياتنا طول اليوم، طول الأيام. أبائنا كانوا كده، كانت حياتهم الروحية هي اللي باينة في حياتهم العملية، في كل حاجة بيعملوها. فكان أحيانا الناس تشوف، أنا سمعت الحكاية دي كتير أكيد، إنه يتقابلوا مع واحد أخلاقه جميلة وديعة، طريقة كلامه، ويقول لك أنا النهاردة قابلت واحد مسيحي. فكانت أبائنا بتأثر في الناس اللي حواليها just يعني مجرد إن هم عايشين البيبل زي الست العذراء. Saint Mary was a gospel. To me, she was a gospel. A living gospel. Even before any words ever written in the gospel, in the New Testament. Before apostles pick ink to parchment, basically. She lived that gospel. She lived that union with Christ. This is what we need to do. To live at that level. In union with Christ. We need to ask her to help us to live in Christ and to be united unto him so he can be formed in us. And then we can say with St. Paul, no longer I live, but Christ lives in me. And glory be to God forever. أؤمنش أنسهي من
We ask and entreat your goodness to love our mankind for your servants, my father, my brethren, and my weakness, those who bow their heads before your holy glory. Dispense unto us your mercy and lose every bond of our sins. You have committed any sin against you, knowingly or unknowingly, from the heart, from deed, and word, from faint-heartedness. You master on us the weakness of men and the goodness of one. Grant us the forgiveness of our sins. Bless us, purify us, make us of those blood, or your people of God. Fill us with your fiance and us unto your goodwill. For you are our God, the glory, the honor, the dominion, the adoration, and you to good with Father, the Holy Spirit, the life giver. All the manations with you now at all times and unto the age of all ages. Amen. Christos fenoti. Urum de tiri ne bainan in tekirini, semninan in tekirini, kan novina ne vol. Tetok te tigon bi o unim de esmonim pi amahin sha'ini, amin. Make us worthy to pray to you, thanks to our Father, who art in heaven. الله العبد عبد الكل ونعمة ابن الوحيد ربنا أولاً في الإسلام المسيح شركة وموهبة وعطية الروح القدس تكون مع جميعكم وتدوم فيكم امضوا بالسلام سلام الرب يكون معكم أمين ربنا يبارك الكلمات ويبارك المتكلم ويبارك السامعين بمجد اسمه إن شاء الله بكرة تسبحة الأربع هيدي لنا قدس أبونا الحبيب سيريل جرجس كان كنيسة مار جرجس سنة في أوتوا إن شاء الله وبعد بكرة أبونا أنتوني مراد يوم الخميس كل يوم بندي يوم كده ربنا يجعلها يعني مهبة مباركة مفيدة للجميع